Welcome to the week where we continue our verse-by-verse study through all of God's inspired word. We're ready today for the book of Numbers, chapter number 18. This is where we're at. My guess is that we're still probably in the middle or maybe the second half of the second year of the Exodus out of Egypt heading toward the Promised Land. Now, that got short-circuited. They're on a timeout where this generation of adults will die off before they get to go into the promise, before the rest of the people get to go into the Promised Land. So they got about 37 and a half years, 38 and a half years left on their journey. And there was a whole bunch of griping and complaining about this timeout, and a lot of people died, something like 2.5-3% of the number of adult men's names that are on the census list. That's a pretty big group to die in a couple of days. And then there was this continued challenge of Moses and Aaron as Levites, members of the tribe of Levi, being the authority figures for everybody else. So we had the whole God designation of the Levi tribe through the blooming and production of almonds of the power rod, the staff of Moses and Aaron. And so that has happened, and once all of that kind of calmed down a bit, the last thing we saw was a bunch of people just feeling like we're all just going to die. It's just bad. Everybody's dying. Everybody's dying. We're all going to die. And that is when God steps in to remind Aaron, to remind his sons, and by extension, to remind the people of Israel that the Levitical tribe is there to help the people not die before their time and to be on right terms with God when they do. They are to be the intercessors for Israel. They intercede from God to them by providing information, telling them what the law meant, but they are also to intercede from the people to God to help with sacrifices and to ask for mercy and how to go through the procedures of making things right. And so the Levitical priesthood, the Levites in support of the Aaronic priesthood, they are there to help everyone out. So chapter 18 is where we see that reinforced with a little bit more information. So he who is said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear iniquity connected with the sanctuary, and you and your sons with you shall bear iniquity connected with your priesthood. So exactly what I was talking about, they are to be the intercessors, those that stand between God and the people and people and God. With you bring your brothers also, the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may join you and minister to you while you and your sons with you are before the tent of the testimony. So Aaron's family, direct descendants, will be responsible for the priesthood, the sacrificial system, the use of the holy objects within the tabernacle and then later into the temple to accomplish atonement. But they need assistance. They need logistical support. And so the rest of the Levites are all going to provide that logistical support. Now, some of the pragmatic support was just practiced with them moving their encampment from Mount Sinai a couple of weeks until they finally arrived at Kadesh Barnea, where they had the whole big debacle of not getting into the land like they were supposed to. And so the Levites help transport the tabernacle and its special holy objects from place to place. That's one of their jobs. And so that comes up here. They shall join you and keep guard over the tent of meeting for all the service of the tent. No outsider shall come near you. So it's only the Levitical tribe takes care of the business with the tabernacle, later the temple. You shall keep guard over the sanctuary and over the altar, that there may never again be wrath on the people of Israel. So that's the goal. If they do their job right, representing God to the people so that the people will do the right thing, and then the people being represented by them to God so that when they do screw up, they can get restored in relationship really quickly, then there shouldn't be any more of these mass die-offs because of executions, because of judgment. Now, that's the ideal. It's not going to be the reality. Behold, I have taken your brothers, the Levites, from among the people of Israel. They are a gift to you, given to he who is to do the service of the tent of meeting. You and your sons with you shall guard your priesthood with all the concerns, the altar, and that which is within the veil. So inside the sanctuary building, the three-sided building with the tapestry top over the top of it. The holy place where they'll do jobs every day. And the most holy place where the high priest only goes in once a year. So that and the altar of sacrifice are limited to the ministries of the priests. Only priests should be messing around with anything there. Now the other things, well, such as the courtyard proper around it, and then the big water tank and things, Levites are going to be helping with all the stuff going on in association with those sorts of things. And then you shall serve. I give you priesthood as a gift, and any outsider who comes near shall be put to death. So this is supposed to be only priests descended from Aaron. They will break that over time. And the priests are only to come from the tribe of Levi. They will break that as well. And the Levites who serve in the temple, in the tabernacle, are supposed to be from the tribe of Levi. And they'll fudge a little bit on that as well, I'm afraid. Verse 8. Then he who is spoke to Aaron, "Behold, I have given you charge of the contributions made to me, all the consecrated things of the people of Israel." So in the list that we've gone over, there are certain things that people have generated in their lives that are supposed to go straight to God. And that means that they will be given to the Levites and the priests. That's the point. I have given them to you as a portion and to your sons as a perpetual due. This is how the Levites will be, from our standpoint, paid, if you will. This shall be yours of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every grain offering of theirs, every sin offering of theirs, every guilt offering of theirs, which they render to me, shall be most holy to you and your sons. Now you remember when we were going through the book of Leviticus, the first seven chapters talk an awful lot about the five different types of sacrifices that are made in the tabernacle. Some of those are specified as being only partial in sacrifice, and the balance of the meat is to go to the officiating priests. Well, that's being reinforced here. that that is basically their on-duty supplies, their on-duty provisions. Verse 10, in a most holy place shall you eat it. Every male may eat it. It is holy to you. So there's a specific limit, and this was seen in some of the other passages we looked at, that sacrifices that are very specific, made to God by Israelis, some of that meat went to the officiating priests, and those officiating priests had to eat it on the property of the tabernacle. Now, we don't hear about it too much with the tabernacle, but we read about it historically in relationship to the temple, that there were cooking stations around the courtyard near the tabernacle shrine building, so that once these officiating priests did their job, the meat that they were given from that could immediately be sent off to be cooked. And so there was constantly not just sacrifices burning on the sacrificial altar, there was cooking going on of all of that pay meat, if you will. And it wasn't just meat, it was also some of the other sacrifices of grain. Now, verse 10, in a most holy place you shall eat it. Every male may eat it. It is holy to you. This also is yours, the contribution of their gifts, all the wave offerings of the people of Israel. I've given it to you and to your sons and daughters with you as a perpetual due. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. So there's another level of these sacrifices, which are paid in part to the Levites and the priests, that only the priestly families can eat from, male and female. Verse number 12, all the best of the oil and all the best of the wine and of the grain, the first fruits of what they give to he who is, I give to you. That's talking about the tithe now. First, we were talking about the sacrifices. Now we're talking about the tithe every year. One-tenth of increase. And back at this time, pretty much everyone gave from their field, from their animal increase. So it was actually food items that were given. And so one-tenth of that went straight to the Levitical tribe. Verse number 10, the first ripe fruits of all that is in their land, which they bring to he who is, shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. So we've been watching this kind of expand out. When it was one level of sacrifices, then only the officiating priest could eat it at the tabernacle. Then one ring out from that, they could eat it with their family members, mom, sisters, daughter, at home, because it belonged to the family. Now we've come to the third ring outward, which is everything else that ends up being part of the tithe. Anyone living at the house of a priest or a Levite can eat of this tithe material because it's basically their pay. It's what they are owed for working for he who is. And so even a visitor to their tent or their house from one of the other tribes, they can eat of it because it's payment. Verse 14 again, every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that opens the womb of all flesh, whether man or beast, which they offer to he who is, shall be yours. Remember, first fruits offerings, basically any animal, the first baby it has, automatically belongs to God. And so here, of course, it's the priests and the Levites that receive charge of that animal, and it'll be the priests who offer that sacrifice. But that's only what happens to sacrificial firstborn animals. Other animals can be exchanged for other value. Their redemption price, at a month old, you shall redeem them. You shall fix it 5 shekels in silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. There's kind of a mixed thing here of if one of your firstborn animals, you just didn't really like the way it looked, you could substitute another animal, or you could pay a little something so that the priest could find another better animal. But the original animal still belongs to God. So we see a little bit of redemption here. This redemption price, by the way, is also tied with the firstborn people, firstborn men. But the firstborn of a cow, or of the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. So you're going to sprinkle their blood on the altar and shall burn their fat as a food offering with a pleasing aroma to he who is. So the firstborn sacrificial animals, they're scheduled to be used in sacrificial ceremonies. Unless, of course, they're not proper animals, in which case they can be redeemed. The animals that are work animals, camels, and we've got donkeys and such, they can be redeemed, but the priests and Levites get the cash from that because that's part of their pay. But the animals that are sacrificial grade, they get sacrificed with this reminder in verse 18. But their flesh shall be yours. So they will be sacrificed according to the rule. Usually it involves the kidneys and the fat that's surrounding the kidneys and the lobe of the liver that the gallbladder is attached to. All of that gets burned up in fire. And then the rest of it is to be given back to the worshiper, the person making the sacrifice, with these exceptions. The chest area goes to the officiating priest, as well as the right thigh. Those belong to you. So the back right quarter also belongs to the officiating priest, who then end up sharing it with all the other priests and Levites. All the holy contributions that the people of Israel present to he who is, I give to you and to your sons and daughters with you as a perpetual due. So this is payment. This is their salary. And this actually causes problems later in Jewish history. And some of it you can read about in Scripture. Because things are not being done properly around the sanctuary, and the priests are falling on hard times. Some of them are starving to death. And some of them are turning into thieves. Some of them are turning into people that try to extort meat out of the people of Israel. And it's just not good. And it's always because they're not following the instructions. They're not following the directions. And it clears up once they get back to the book, which is a very good principle, isn't it? It is a covenant of salt forever before he who is for you and for your offspring with you. Salt was a very valuable commodity, and therefore it was often part of an exchange between people when it involves salary. In fact, I think most of you already know our modern-day word salary is related to the word salt. Because way back when people were paid for their job with goods, salt was almost always included as one of the valuable goods you wanted. Verse 20, he who has said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, neither shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the people of Israel. We've seen this before. We'll see it again. when they divide the Promised Land up between the 12 tribes, every man whose name is on the inheritance list will get a family farm or some sort of piece of property that will be passed through his inheritance from there on out. But the Levitical tribe people will not have any designated territory. You know, we can point on a map to the, where the tribe of Judah was, where was the tribe of Benjamin, where was the tribe of Gad. We can point to all that on a map. But the tribe of Levi did not have a localized place where they lived. Instead, we'll find out later, God scatters them throughout the other 12 tribes. They live in Levitical cities. This helps them serve the other tribes, even in their home territory, because they can be teachers and worship leaders in those different far-flung areas. But they will have a responsibility from time to time to go and serve in the tabernacle. That is a system that David really makes clear when he's working on the temple project. They do like 2 weeks out of every year, the different courses of the priests and the different courses of the Levites. So they end up working 2 weeks, about 6 months apart, every single year at the holy site. But the rest of the time, they were in their Levitical areas around the rest of the country. And so that's what God is bringing up here, is that I am your portion. I'm the one you're living in, and I'm the one that's provided your inheritance for you. Verse 21, to the Levites, I've given every tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service that they do, their service in the tent of meeting, so that the people of Israel do not come near the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. So the Levites, in a similar fashion to the priests, act as intercessors, act as representatives of the people to God, and they also help remind the people, you can't just come to God on your own terms, you have to go through procedure. So even the Levites are supposed to be helping with that. But verse 23, reminder here, the Levites shall do the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout their generations, and among the people of Israel they shall have no inheritance. So they aren't priests, but they aren't one of the tribes of Israel where they have a piece of property that they'll live on. They are support personnel. For the tithe of the people of Israel, which they present as a contribution to he who is, I have given to the Levites for an inheritance. Therefore, I have said of them that they shall have no inheritance among the people of Israel. So the tithe is a funding mechanism for work on behalf of God. I receive my salary from the tithe donations given in by the different church people at the church where I serve. When we have support personnel, they also have to be paid out of that offering money, that tithe money. Now, you know the pragmatics of that. If the people do not give generously, now, tithe is not a New Testament requirement. You don't see it in the New Testament writings as such. But it is an Old Testament principle that the New Testament church seems to have adopted. And I think it is a good principle. If everybody gives about 10% of their earned income to the work of their local congregation, there'll be a lot more funds available for people to do full-time and part-time work on behalf of those people. And we're not talking about just preachers. We need custodians. We need people that take care of kids. you know, run daycares and schools and things of that nature. Maybe do medical stuff. Maybe a missionary would be sent out of these tithes. And so that is something that I always like to try to ask every believer to think more seriously about whenever I come across these passages. Your local congregation needs you to give generously into the work of the Lord. If you don't give generously, you're hurting the mission. And you're hurting it by first hurting the people trying to carry out that mission on your behalf. So, give. Verse 25. He who is spoke to Moses, saying, "Moreover, you shall speak and say to the Levites, when you take from the people of Israel the tithe that I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall present a contribution from it to He is a tithe of the tithe." So the Levites received the 10% coming in from the 12 tribes of Israel, and they all turned around and gave 10% of what they received to the priests so that they could live as well. We have something similar, I think, that happens in the church. I know that when I receive money from the church, which is from the tithe, from the offerings of the people of the Lord, guess what I do? I turn around and I give 10% back into the work of the Lord to help other people that are doing the work of service and to help some of the missions and things like that. And so everybody's trying to contribute to the needs of the saints, to the needs of the church, to the needs of the gospel. This is very important. We must not choke the efforts of God's work. Give generously and expect great results from that generosity.